One of the things we often hear people say is, it's not fair. And in fact, that sometimes seems to be some people's like favorite phrase, right? I have a colleague who, you hear that a lot from this particular person. It's not fair, you know. Another group of people, they get a little extra something or other. And instead of being happy for them, I mean, these are other colleagues, right? Other colleagues, they got a little extra planning time at school or whatever it is. It's not fair. We didn't get that. Okay. Can we live with it, right? Can we be happy that they got it, right? And not always think that life has to be fair, right? Because actually, God gave us, when we think of it this way, God gave us what he wanted us to have, and he gave somebody else what he wanted that person to have. So let's be thankful for what he gave us. And Tim was kind of whispering a scripture to me, and I had the same scripture in mind, so that definitely a double confirmation. You're going to hear that scripture next. It's Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, giving thanks always for all things. Sometimes the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 is mentioned. And people say, you know, it says giving thanks in all things. You might not appreciate the circumstances, but you can give thanks in all things. And I think in a way that's a little bit of a cop-out. It's a cheat. Because Ephesians says, give thanks always for all things. So I remember I was driving to a camp planning meeting. I was a teenage driver. It was my like second year driving. We're on the way to a camp planning meeting, and I was heading into an unfamiliar neighborhood, and I had an accident. We'll say it wasn't my fault, right? Because you weren't there, so you don't know. It really, somebody backed out. I'll have to convince Tim later. And we got there to the brother's house where the planning meeting was, and he was and it was my parents' car, right? So he's praying for when I get home, and he says, you know, and we pray for Steve when he gets home, and he tells his parents the good news about the accident because of Romans 8, right? Like, my parents didn't quite see it that way. They didn't say, well, I'm so thankful you had the accident. But, you know, I didn't say that either. But really, this is the mindset. You know, giving thanks for all things. It taught me better driving. It's too bad I couldn't have learned it another way, right? But if we give thanks for all things, we think of, as Tim whispered to me, the sovereignty of God. It points out that God gave us, God inserted in our lives the things that we needed. And if we think of him as in control, even in our foolishness, even in our ineptitude, we can give thanks for how God leads us along. Let's move on to another passage. This has really been very valuable on this passage, and we could probably continue. But there's another one actually in 1 Thessalonians. Anybody suggest another expression in 1 Thessalonians about the will of God?
Joe mentioned it already.
Yes, that's right. Joe, you did mention it earlier. Do you remember which one you mentioned? Pardon? Sanctification, right. Do you know where that is? Can you give us the reference there? Or somebody else could, if you have it? Yes, you have it right there in front of you, Lars? Go ahead. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3.
How much do you want me to read?
Okay. Chapter 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Okay. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Chapter 3, verse 13, along the same line.
Chapter 3, verse 13. Yeah. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Good. Okay, so let's ask ourselves some of the same questions. Why is this explicitly provided for us as part of the prescriptive will of God, as why is this highlighted? How will this bring glory to God? How will this be responsive to the character God wants to form in us? What is it going to do when we respond to this scripture the way he wants us to?
One way that...
You just pull it out.
It's on. Go ahead.
One way that I think of it is, none of it makes any sense unless there is a God. It doesn't make a sense to limit your lusts unless there's a God to submit to. And I think we see in our culture, as the sort of side effects of Christianity being so popular for so many years wear off, more and more we'll see people come to the realization, it doesn't make sense that I should abstain from, you know, pursuing anything that I want. Just like in giving thanks in all things or for all things, it doesn't make sense unless there's a God. And so as we obey it, as we submit to that will, it testifies to the existence of God and can in that way further the work of the Spirit.